I want to say that today we have a reading about leprosy, and there is a, you might say, a disconnect a lot of us have, and especially I would think some of the young people, not much experience with leprosy, and even some of us who are older have had very little. We've never known anyone who had leprosy, and we've heard of it, but leprosy is a terrible disease, and it's largely been controlled by different medicines and things, but still it's a terrible, terrible thing when a person gets it. And it's today called Hansen's disease. Maybe you've heard it under that title, but let me talk to you a little bit about leprosy. But I want you all to remember that in talking about the physical problem of leprosy, remember in the Bible, and I'll show you this to you in a minute, that leprosy is a symbol or a metaphor for sin. Because what leprosy does to us physically, sin does to us spiritually. So let's talk a little bit about leprosy. Now, again, young people, again, I don't know what your studies have told you, but let's just say that, first of all, leprosy is a disease that starts or at least shows itself on the skin. And it starts out with just small little scabs and rough spots. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish between normal skin conditions that some of us get, like dermatitis or psoriasis or eczema, patches of dry skin that become white and flaky and peel off. But it gets a lot worse after that. It begins to go into the internal organs and terrible things begin to happen. So if you will let me, I want to read a description of leprosy. And frankly, it's a little gross, but we ought to know about it. Because many people in Jesus' time struggled with this terrible disease. And it goes like this. It says that leprosy begins with an unaccountable lethargy and pain in the joints, just a kind of a fatigue, huh? And then there appear on the body, especially on the back, symmetrical patches of discolored skin with pink and brown nodules, and the skin becomes thickened. Now, gradually, though, as the symptoms move to the face, and they begin to go into the folds of the cheek and the nose and the lips and the forehead. And the whole appearance of a person's face begins to change until it looks more like that of a lion. And the nodules grow and they get larger and they begin to ulcerate. And there comes a discharge of pus and the eyebrows fall out. And eventually the whole body becomes involved. The eyes become staring and can no longer move well. And the voice becomes hoarse and the breath wheezes because of ulcerations in the throat. And eventually the muscles begin to waste away and the tendons contract until the hands look more like claws. And next comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes. And eventually a whole hand or a foot might drop off. It's a kind of a terrible and slow progressive death of the body. Then comes, the disease may last from 10 to as long as 30 years. Eventually it ends in mental decay and coma and finally death. Yet this was not all. Lepers not only had to bear the physical torment of the disease, but they also had to bear the mental anguish and the heartache of being completely banished from society. And totally shunned. They were forced to live outside of the towns in areas called leper areas, in the caves and the woods nearby. It says that everyone knew and everyone they knew was lost, and they now could only see them from a far distance. In the Middle Ages, when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they were brought to the church and the priest read the burial service over them, for in effect, they were already dead. Though still alive. Very sad, huh? It's a terrible disease. And again, today it's largely been abated by medicines, but it's just an awful thing that people had to go through. Sometimes, again, we think that we get a little bit frustrated and our life is, I'm unhappy about something, but just remember, we got it good compared to some other folks, and especially those who lived in ages before us who had to deal with terrible things like this. And so it is that we see that this is the physical disease of leprosy. But I hope that you can also see that there's something of a description of what sin can do to us if we're not careful, and how it can begin to eat away at us and become worse and worse, and before we know it, we're enslaved to our passions and we're doing terrible things. Let me read to you from one of the Psalms, Psalm 38, that uses leprosy as a symbol for what happens when we, if you will, become locked in sin. It simply says, "Lord, there is no soundness in my flesh. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, and they weigh down on me like a burden too heavy to carry. My wounds grow foul, and they fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down, and I'm prostrate all the day long, and I go about mourning. There's no soundness in my flesh. My friends and my companions stand off at a distance. They stand far away from my plague, and my kinsmen stand far off." And so again, we see that the Bible often uses leprosy as a sign for what sin can also do to us, how it can destroy us. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at this gospel today from this standpoint that we're all lepers. Come on, just admit it. Somebody say, I'm a leper. They weren't too enthusiastic about that. You know, we lepers, we need the Lord to heal us. And there's a beautiful story in the gospel today about a leper who, as you could see, was in terrible shape, and the Lord healed him. I don't know about you, but that's time for the Snoopy dance. That's time for real joy, isn't it? And we're going to see as we go through this reading how this leper gets cured, but we're going to also see that it's true for us in terms of our struggle with spiritual leprosy, which is what sin is. So the first thing is we're going to see that the leper gets healed in four stages, and so do we. Now, the first, stage of this healing is to simply admit the reality. Admit the reality. This man knew he was a leper. He knew he was in trouble. Oh, church, you heard what I read to you. He knew that his life was heading in a bad direction. We don't know how far along his leprosy was, but he knew he was going down, and he was going to go down fast. He knew he was in trouble. He admitted. And again, he stood off and called to the Lord, and we'll get to that in a minute, but he knew he had a problem. And this is the first stage for us. To say, I know I've got a problem. I know I do sin. And you know, we live in a time that makes light of sin. You know, we just say, well, I'm not as bad as that other guy over there, at least. Or sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not responsible. My mother dropped me on my head when I was 2. And that's why I have all these problems with anger management or whatever. And we either make excuses, or we make light of it, or we say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And in the end, let's just say, look, I got a problem. Somebody say, I got it bad, and that ain't good. All right, that's an old song I'm quoting now. Going all the way back to the Apollo Theater. I got it bad, and that ain't good. And let's be honest, we do sin. And whether you make light of it or not, we do sin. Frankly, we can be unkind, we can be uncaring, we can be bitter and angry and resentful, we can be vengeful, we can say hateful things, we can be unchaste, we can be greedy, we can be insensitive, unkind, and just plain mean. And I didn't say that you do everything on the list, but don't tell me you don't do anything on the list. And I got to say to you, young people, I want to be honest with you. I'm just going to say it plain. Some of the cruelest people on the planet are children. You say things to each other that, well, it's just awful, some of the stuff you say to each other. Hurtful, painful things. And to some extent, when we get a little older, we kind of grow out of some of that. Well, we do it behind their back. But listen, don't hurt each other with words. Don't laugh at each other's physical appearance. Don't make jokes about people and that hurt them. You know, it can devastate. It can really hurt. And some of the most awful things sometimes are what children say to each other. Don't be cruel. Somebody just say, don't be cruel. Don't be cruel. That pastor's always got a song on his mind. But again, I wanted to say to you, we got it bad and that ain't good. We do sin. We do sin. And there's a long list of stuff. And we may just sort of tuck it under and not pay much attention to it, but it's there. And it can grow in us. And I'll just say that it can grow. We all know what resentments can do, and bitterness, and a lack of forgiveness, and how those can grow in us like a cancer, and how they can really eat away at our families and cause all kinds of grief. And so there's so many ways we could just analyze any stream of sin, but it's a terrible reality, and we've got it bad, and that ain't good. But thank the Lord there is a doctor in the house. So step one in getting healed is to admit the reality. I am a spiritual leper. Step two, accept the relationship. The leper looked and saw Jesus in the distance. And that leper broke all the rules. They're not allowed to come into town for health reasons. He came and apparently entered in and came up close to Jesus. Now, lepers aren't supposed to do that. But a leper says, this man Jesus, this man Jesus can heal me. And he reached out to Jesus and called out, Jesus, Jesus. He said, if you will to, you could make me clean. He reaches out. He tries to establish a relationship with the Lord. And the Lord does something unthinkable. He touched that leper. He reached out and touched him and said, I do will it. Be made clean. Now the healing, notice, comes from a relationship. The man reaching out to Jesus, and Jesus reaching out to the man. It says that Jesus looked on him with pity. Now in English, modern English, the word pity kind of has a condescending tone to it. But in the original use of the word pity, it was related to the word pietas in Latin, which means family love. In other words, Jesus said, you are my brother. You're my brother, and I want you to be set free of the leprosy that is eating away at you. There's a beautiful line in the letter to the Hebrews, and I'll just read it to you. It's from Hebrews, and it's in the second chapter. And it simply says this, for the Lord who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, namely us, are of one origin. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. You ought to say hallelujah. See, I'd be ashamed to call me a brother if I were Jesus. But he's not ashamed to call me his brother. Say, and Jesus goes on to say, according to Hebrews, I will proclaim your name, Heavenly Father, to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The Lord is not ashamed. The man reaches out in relationship to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and touches him as a brother and says, I do will, be made clean. So again, you see the key is the relationship. Brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you. The Lord will heal us through relationship. Too many people have this idea that they can just sort of go off and be on their own and somehow God will just sprinkle magic fairy dust and heal them. I tell you that 99 times out of 100, when the Lord wanted to heal me, he did it through some member of his body. And I'm looking at a lot of you right now. I've told you before in previous weeks, and we've talked a lot about this over the years, that you are an important part, an essential part of my own healing, that I'm becoming the man that God made me to be, and he's doing it through you. He's doing it through other people in my life as well, good friends I have, spiritual directors. He's doing it, again, through my own family in all these different ways. God is healing me because he didn't just go up to heaven. He still has his body here on earth. I'm looking at the body of Christ right here. I don't go to God. I don't got to go to a cloud to find Jesus. He's right here. Where two or three are gathered, I'm there. We're all members of the body of Christ. I'm telling you right now, relationship is key to healing. Are you praying with me? You stay related to the mystical body of Christ on earth, His church, and you will, I say you will, experience healing through the sacraments, through the Word of God, through fellowship, through prayer. I promise you that if you stay faithful to God, to His church, His mystical body, and His sacraments, I promise you healing in Christ Jesus. I am a witness. Are you praying with me? Young people, to become the man or the woman that God made you to be, you got to let the Lord heal you. And He's not up on some cloud only. He's at the Father's right hand, but His body is still here. This is the church. Stay close to Christ by staying close to the church. I promise you, you will become the man or the woman that God created you to be. And one of the ways He's going to do it is right here in this place. Right here, I said. Right here. Now, so we see that the first two steps in getting healed are to admit the reality. I'm a sinner. To then, if you will, accept the relationship. That the Lord is going to begin to heal. Going to begin to set me free from my sins and make me more and more holy and more joyful and confident and serene and forgiving and patient and chaste and merciful. He's going to do that for me. But I got to accept the relationship, and the Lord will call those virtues out of me and put sin to death. So that's the second step. Again, admit the reality. Secondly, accept the relationship. Third, apply the remedy. Apply the remedy. Notice what Jesus says. He heals this man, but he says to this man, you know how you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, here's the issue, and then he writes out the old prescription. They hand it to you. Got to go and fill this prescription. All right, you know what I'm talking about, amen? Well, Jesus does the same thing. He says to this man, I'm going to heal you. Your leprosy is gone. But I now want you to do this. Go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. Now, let's talk about the historical reason for this, and then let's talk about the spiritual. In the Old Testament times, the priests were trained very carefully in understanding leprosy. And there's a whole bunch of verses and even a couple of chapters in the book of Leviticus that tells the priest how to recognize leprosy. And you see, the reason is because in its initial stages, leprosy, like I said, can look a lot like other skin ailments. It might just be rough skin that's gotten a little bit inflamed. We call that dermatitis. It might be psoriasis, or it might be eczema, or just some other non-contagious skin problem. And the priests in the Old Testament were trained to recognize leprosy from those sorts of things. And like anything, they had to sometimes make a judgment. And when they made the judgment, sometimes they had to say, I'm sorry, I have to say this is leprosy. You're going to have to go and live apart. But other times the priest might say, no, this is just something else. It's not leprosy. Hallelujah. But the priests were the ones who were trained. You heard that in the first reading today. If there's someone who looks like they have leprosy, they've got to go to the priest. And the priest will examine them. And the priest will make the determination. So the Lord says to this man, look, I've healed you of your leprosy. I've healed you. But now, go and show yourself to the priest, and then offer the sacrifice. Now, for us, it's still true. Church, I'm just going to say to you, go show yourself to the priest. That's me. You know what I'm getting at, but let's just make it plain. Go to confession! I had nobody in line today. Now, I know some of you say, I ain't going to Pope. He knows me. Then go to another parish, go to the shrine, but go to confession. The sacrament of confession is a regular part of every believer's life. It ought to be there. It ought to be something that you do routinely. How often, Father? I don't know, once a month or four times a year, depending on your struggle with sin. You know, apparently a lot of you are a lot holier than I am. Because I go once a week. Apparently most of you don't feel like you need to go that often. And I just want to say, you know, I'm just playing with you a little, but I'm just saying, go to confession. Jesus says to the leper, I'm going to heal you, but go and show yourself to the priest. And then offer the sacrifice. Usually when you go to the priest, I'll give you a little penance to say, a little sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Offer some prayers, see? And that's the vision. So, brothers and sisters, let me be careful that you understand something. God forgives your sins. Charles Pope can't do that. Charles Pope didn't die for you. Jesus did. But Jesus, the same Jesus who died for your sins, the same Jesus who forgives your sin, tells you, go and show yourself to the priest. And then offer the sacrifice that is prescribed. Just do it. Oh, but Father, no, just do it. Jesus just says it, just do it. Now, that's, again, the clear call to go to confession. Somebody says to me, I ain't got to go to no man to tell me I'm forgiven. Well, I'm telling you, I know God forgives you, but I'm just telling you, the same God who forgives you tells you to go to some man, namely the priest, and show yourself to him. I hope you'll understand that confession, sacramental confession, going to confession, is an essential part of the Christian life. The Lord forgives you your sins, but you know, I'm privileged to say, as I sit in that box over there Sunday after Sunday, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it is not I who speak. It is Jesus who uses my voice and uses my extended hand. It is Jesus who forgives you, but he does work through the priest. I promise you. Jesus gave that power to his apostles. On the day he rose from the dead, he appeared to them in the upper room and said, he breathed on them and said to those apostles, those first priests, he said, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. I promise you in the name of Jesus that confession is effective. I go every week, not because I'm committing horrifying sins every week. I'll say that I'm a sinner. But I'm just saying to you that I benefit from going every week. Every week I go. Every week I talk to my confessor about my struggles, about my sins, and he gives me a word of encouragement and a word of absolution. And then there comes a second grace, grace to avoid sin in the future. And I know that getting to confession weekly has been a big part of my own personal conversion. So again, I simply echo what Jesus said. Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifice that is prescribed. Go to confession. Allow the priest, allow Jesus to speak through the priest. I absolve you. And then say the, if you will, the penance or that sacrifice of thanksgiving to God that the priest asks you to offer. All right. We're trying to get over our leprosy. I'm trying to finish this homily. First thing, admit the reality. Second thing, accept the relationship where there's healing. Third thing, apply the remedy. Go show yourself to the priest. Fourth thing, and then we're done. Announce the result. Announce the result. You know, when God works in your life and he does something good for you, you start to get joyful. And you can't hide joy. I said, you can't hide joy. When you got joy, I see it on your face. There's just something about joy. And you've got to shout it out. And you've got to say, look what the Lord has done for me. Now, Jesus took this man and said, don't you dare tell anyone what I just did. The man couldn't help it. I'm healed. He's done good things. God's been good to me. He's smiled on me. He's set me free. He's changing my life. He's transforming me. It's all about Jesus. Come, everybody, and follow Jesus. He's announcing the result. And this joy comes upon him. And there's an old gospel song that says, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And so it is that when your healing is real, and not just you're not just saying you got healed, but you're really getting healed, there's a joy that comes on you, and you can't not tell somebody about it. Again, this evangelical spirit that we're called to have, that's full of joy for what the Lord is doing. And I just ask again, is there anybody in this church that can say God's been good to you, that He's smiled on you, that He's set you free, that He's forgiven your sins, that He showed you mercy? And that gives you a joy, and that's at the heart of your evangelical spirit, going to others and talking about what the Lord has done in your life. And it's a sign of real healing, because when there's real healing, there's real joy, and you can't hide joy. I don't care how hard you try, you can't hide joy. Well, we have come then to these four fundamental, if you will, stages to become free of our leprosy. How to lose our leprosy? Admit the reality. I got it bad, and that ain't good. Accept the relationship. Call on the Lord. And then apply the remedy, get to confession frequently, and then announce the result. And that's how we lose our leprosy. Now, I want to say to you, we all heard in the news of the death of Whitney Houston. And I was putting this homily together last night when I heard that news. And my little email thing bleeped and some news service said, you know, Whitney Houston dies. I immediately clicked over and I read the story. I'll tell you, my eyes were filled with tears. And I thought of a song that she sang, and it's a more recent song. And it's simply, "I Look to You." And she sang that song in the aftermath of coming out of treatment. We know that we don't know all the details, but that she certainly struggled with, to some degree, with addiction, with substance abuse. We don't know all the details, but she had that struggle, and she'd been away, and she'd been treated, and she'd come out, and she was beginning to experience some freedom, and she sang a beautiful song that sort of exemplifies what we were talking about in the homily today. She knew that she had a struggle, and she brought her struggle. She reached out for the Lord, and the Lord began to do a healing work, and she began to experience that power in her life, and she, if you will, accepted that relationship of going to meetings and loving the Lord more, and she began to experience that healing, and she sang a song that talked about how the Lord was helping her. And I want to just quote from that song as a kind of a conclusion and also a tribute to Whitney Houston. And this song is a very moving song, and I'm about to read from it. If you're not as familiar with this song, I just encourage you to go to the blog post that I wrote, which is this sermon, and at the bottom I have a video of Whitney singing this beautiful song. The song simply says, "I look to you, you, O Lord." The text says, "As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost and without a cause after giving it my all." Again, admitting the reality of struggle. "Winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. I look to you. After all my strength is gone, in you, O Lord, I can be strong. I look to you. And when melodies are gone, in you I hear a song. I look to you. About to lose my breath, there's no more fighting left. Sinking to rise no more, searching for that open door. And every road I've taken led to my regret, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Nothing to do but lift my head and say, I look to you. I look to you. After all, my strength is gone, and melodies are gone. I look to you. I look to you." There's just something beautiful about that song, and I hope you know it. And if you don't, you can go to my blog and just see the video. But church, we all grieve at the loss of this wonderful woman. All I know is that she left this testimony. We don't know the circumstances of her death or what that was all about. We don't know any of that yet. I just want you to know I was deeply moved, and there I was writing this very sermon, and that song immediately came to mind. I look to you. So let's entrust her to the care of God now. But let's follow the example of that beautiful song. We need to admit that I'm in a struggle. I'm in a battle. And sometimes I don't do so well with my battle against sin. But Lord, I'm going to look to you. Lord, I'm going to lift my eyes up and I'm going to look to you. And when melodies are gone, I'm going to look to you and I'm going to find a song, but I'm going to look to you. I'll look to you. And we pray now that Sister Whitney has looked up and she saw the Lord, and the Lord leaned down and took her to himself, and we entrust her to his care now. But church, we're all in this battle. We're all in this struggle. She had her struggles. You and I have. We have our struggles. But Lord, I look to you. It's all we can do. Just keep looking to God. He alone. We admit the reality, but we accept the relationship. We apply the remedy, and we announce the result. And for her, announcing the result was to sing this beautiful song. So again, thank you, Lord, for the gift of Ms. Whitney Houston. Thank you for that testimony of that song and so many others besides that stirred our souls. But Lord, we're all in this battle together. Lord, in the midst of it all, we look to you. Amen.